الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين، آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continue inshallah in our study of the life of the Sahaba, and today we have somewhat of a special session. We will talk about the poets of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. شعراء الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. And before I speak of the Sahaba, of the stars of our session today, inshallah, let me talk a little bit about poetry. Why is that important, and why are we dedicating a session for just the poet of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? Poetry in Arabia, and poetry for Arabs, was an extremely important media and propaganda and information system. Poetry reached a great status in Arabia before Islam, where it was almost sacred. It has sanctity by the Arabs at that time, to the extent that they would choose for every year a poem and post it in the Kaaba. And they will post that poetry in the Kaaba, and they call it al-mu'allaqat, meaning the posted poetry. And they will be very picky about what they choose and how they choose their poetry. And another thing for the Arabs at that time is they were very proud of their ability to master the language. Mastering the Arabic language for the Arabs was a point of pride, a point of honor, that they had competition. And they had poetry competition in a marketplace called Souq Uqav. This marketplace was almost a fair, a great fair for Arabs, where they come and do their, they show their poetry and they show their ability. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged them in their own point of strength. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you see the miracles that come to the prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajma'een, the miracle that came to Musa alayhi salam was a miracle of magic. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the staff, and you throw the staff and it will eat, it becomes a snake, and that snake will eat the snakes of the sorcerer, of the magicians. Because the pharaohs and the Egyptians at that time, they excelled in that art of deception and magic, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them real miracles that overcomes that. The Jews of Bani Israel, of the people of Israel at the time of Isa, of Jesus alayhi salam, they excelled in medicine and curing diseases. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the miracles to Isa alayhi salam, where he would cure the blind, cure vitiligo, cure diseases that are incurable today. And he would even would call the dead to come alive. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Qur'an to challenge the Arabs for their point where they think that that's their greatest strength, is the language of Arabic. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. We have revealed a Qur'an, Arabi, Arabic Qur'an. That is challenging the Arabs. Is this are the words that you use every day, yet you see how miraculous it is. And when one of their most important critic of language, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to listen to these words, he came back and he told the people of Quraysh, I have never heard such words. He said, إِنَّ لِكَلَامِهِ لَحَلَاوَ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْهِ لَطَلَاوَ وَإِنَّ أَعْلَاهُ لَمُثْنَرْ وَإِنَّ أَسْفَلَهُ لَمُغْدَقْ وَإِنَّهُ يَعْلُو وَلَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهِ. He said, his words I have never seen. I've never heard such words before, speaking of the Qur'an. He said, the highest point of it is fruitful, and the lowest point of it is fertile. And this is so high, and nothing can be higher than it. And they felt the miracle of Qur'an, because they knew the language of Arabic. And poetry among the Arab was a way of transmitting information and understanding what happens in the world. And also it was used to elevate people and to put people down. They had the art of al-madih, the art of praising through poetry. And one poem can elevate a family or a tribe to the highest of the high. And then one, they had also an art of al-hijab, of actually dishonoring people through poetry. And they used that in their wars, in their media wars, in their war of talk. So when there is a physical war between the two tribes, the poets of this tribe will come out and try to dishonor the other tribe with their poetry and increase the praise on their own tribe. And the other thing would happen on the other team as well. So poetry was very, very powerful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledged that power of poetry in the Qur'an. A complete chapter in the Qur'an is called Surah Al-Shu'ara, the chapter of the poets. And in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the poets. And also mentioned the poet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that diminishes their influence. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Shu'ara, وَالشُعَرَاءُ يَتْبَعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ أَلَمْ تَرَى أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمُونَ وَأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ. The shu'ara, the poets, lead people astray. Because they go in every valley, meaning if they go to a king, they will praise the king regardless of what that king's faults are. Because that's what they're paid to do. And then when they dishonor somebody in their poetry, they do it because they're paid to do that. And then they say things that they don't do. They brag about their bravery, which may not be true, but they had the power of the tongue to say it, but they don't have the power of the muscle to prove it. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about Ash-Shu'ara. But there are exceptions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the exceptions in the same verse of Surah Ash-Shu'ara, of the verse of the poets. And we will come to that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged good poetry that serve Islam, that serve the da'wah, the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved to hear some of the poetry that had wisdom in it. And he said, إِنَّ مِنَ الشِّعْرِ لَحِكْمَةً. Some of the poetry has wisdom in it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would allow the poets to come to his place and say their poetry in front of him. And he would sometime praise them for what they are saying. One of the famous poets that would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a lady poet. Her name was Al-Khansa. And we mentioned her during the battle of Al-Qadisiyah because she lost her four sons at one time, at one day in Al-Qadisiyah. And she said, Alhamdulillah, praise to Allah that honored me, الَّذِي شَرَّفَنِي بِهِمْ, that honored me with these children because I could give all of them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would listen to her poetry and he would say, إِيهِ خُنَاس, go on, Khunas. And he would, that was her nickname. And she would say, go on and tell me more. And he would listen to her. And even when Ka'b ibn Zuhayr ibn Abi Sulma, the famous poet, that man dedicated his poetry to fighting Islam for years upon years. And then he, subhanAllah, became a Muslim. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very apologetic about everything he said about the Prophet. And then he started saying poetry about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's a famous poem in Arabic, started as Banat su'adun faqalbi al-yawma matbulu mutayyamun ifraha mithraha lam yufda makbulu. And he started praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet was so happy that he took his outer garment and he put it on the shoulders of Ka'b. And this poem is called Al-Burda, which is the name of the garment of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received many poets, and he allowed them to say the poetry about Islam, and he would praise them. But to be called a poet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a different deal. The poets of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are only three poets. Now many people recited poetry for the Prophet, but these people dedicated their poetry to the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet after they became Muslims. And they were Sahaba. They were companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were the media outlets of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. And those three are Hassan ibn Thabit, Abdullah ibn Rawaha, and Ka'b ibn Malik. And inshallah we will be talking about all three poets. All three of them are Ansar. All three of them are from the Ansar of the Medina. And none of them is from Quraysh. The first and probably the most famous, especially in Arabic literature, is Hassan ibn Thabit. Hassan ibn Thabit, he was 60 when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah to Al-Madinah. So he was already an experienced, mature poet. And he was very well known as a famous poet before Islam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, he became the soldier of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the way it happened is in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started hearing this ugly poetry coming from Mecca, from Quraysh. Dishonoring Islam and attacking Islam and talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accusing Muslims of all the evil and all the bad acts. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Al-Ansar, ما يمنع القوم الذين نصروا الله ورسوله بسلاحهم أن ينصروه بألسنتهم. He said, what is stopping those who supported Allah and His Prophet with their own swords to support them with their tongues? Meaning, can't somebody answer them back? Can somebody talk back to Quraysh? I mean, it's like having today the similitude, or you having like all of these channels on TV and all of these media, you know, it's Clear Channel or whatever, and all these newspapers attacking Muslims, and somebody say, isn't there one channel that can serve Islam? Isn't there one radio station that can defend Islam? Isn't there one newspaper that can say something good about Islam? And this is what the Prophet ﷺ was asking the poets to do. And then Hassan stood up, he said, أنا لها, I can do this, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet smiled and he said, وَاللَّهِ مَا يَسُرُّنِي بِهِ مِقْوَلٌ بَيْنَ بُصْرَ وَصَنْعَى. He said, nobody can say a better word between Busra, which is in Hisham, and Sana'a, it is in Yemen. I mean, in the entire Arabia today, nobody can tell me a better thing that he will do it. And Hassan kept his promise. And from that day on, he was the poet of the Prophet. He was the media outlet for Islam. And he was defending one poem that would come from Mecca, they would see one coming out of Hassan from Medina, and Arabs would hear of it. And don't belittle this. I mean, many of the Arabs, especially the people of the desert, the nomads, that was their life, is to memorize poetry and to go with the poetry from one place to another. Even when Arabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet was telling him that al-Dhuhr 4 rak'ah, al-Asr 4 rak'ah, al-Maghrib 3 rak'ah, Isha 4 rak'ah, and Fajr 2 rak'ah. And the man would always have it wrong, always get confused. He just could not memorize the salah, how it works. And then a sahabi came to him and he said, come, let me tell you this poem. Remind. And he said, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ أَرْبَعٌ فَأَرْبَعُ ثُمَّ ثَلَاثَةٌ يَتْبَعُهَا أَرْبَعُ أَمَّا الْفَجْرُ فَإِثْنَانِ لَا تُجْمَعُ. He gave him just, and he said, no, that's so easy. SubhanAllah. And he couldn't forget it. So to them, poetry was very close to their heart. Oh, he just told the salah is 4 rak'ah by 4 rak'ah, but he just put it in rhyming. That's all it did. He just put it in rhyming, so the man then remembered it like that. He said, salah is 4 by 4, then 3, and then followed by 4. And then the fajr is only 2 rak'ah, and you cannot make jama'ah. You cannot pray jama'ah for the fajr. He said, man, this is so easy. I can't remember this. SubhanAllah. So poetry was a powerful tool. And that's what Hassan ibn Thabit did. One thing that is known about Hassan ibn Thabit, he was 60 already. And people at the age of 60, they still carry jihad with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Hassan was not a man of war. He was not a man of flippance. He lived all his life as a poet. And poets, good poets in Arabia, they were always very rich people. They're always people honor them for two reasons. Either they're generous with them because they say something good about them, or they're generous with them because they're afraid they will say something bad about them. So they would always take care of the poets. Always the poets were treated very, very good. So Hassan was not a fighter, and he would not carry weapons in fighting, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always say, Hassan make jihad in his tongue. He will do the jihad in his tongue, and that's how he is making the jihad. One of the things that happened during the life of Hassan ibn Thabit, and we know that the incident of Al-Ifk, the false accusation of Aisha radiallahu anha, when Abdullah ibn Ubay started spreading the rumor about Aisha radiallahu anha, and three people got involved of the good Sahaba, people of taqwa, people of piety, and they are Mustah ibn Uthatha, who is a man of Badr, who is a Badri, and Hamna bint Jahsh, who is the sister of Zainab bint Jahsh, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Hassan. They spoke, they mentioned, they carried the news that this is what happened. And the punishment came in Islam that they should be punished for what they said. And Hassan was one of the people that was punished for what he said. And he would honor Aisha from that day on till the day he died. And then he started saying poetry praising the honor and the dignity of Aisha. He would say, Hassanun razanun ma tazinu bi ribatin wa tusbihu gartha min luhum al-ghawafili. He said, she is an honorable woman. He could not forgive to himself. Even Allah forgive him. Once he had that punishment, they are a good sahaba, and that's it. He could not forgive himself. He continued all his life praising the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mother of the believers. The poetry of Hassan was dedicated, his specialty was defending Muslims. So he would wait and listen to what is coming out trying to disfigure the Islamic picture on Arabia, and he would reply to that, and he would rebuttal against that and say the truth in his poetry. And one of his poetry is also to praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he would say about the Prophet, one of his poems, نَبِيٌّ أَتَانَا بَعْدَ يَأْسٍ وَفَتْرَةٍ مِنَ الرُّسْلِ وَالْأَوْثَانُ فِي الْأَرْضِ تُعْبَدُ فَأَمْسَى سِرَاجًا مُسْتَنِيرًا وَهَادِيًا يَلُوحُ كَمَا لَاحَ السَّقِيلُ الْمُهَنَّدُ وَأَنْذَرَنَا نَارًا وَبَشَّرَ جَنَّةٍ وَعَلَّمَنَا الْإِسْلَامَ فالله نحمده وأنت إله الخلق ربي وخالقي بذلك ما عمرت في الناس أشهد. He would say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this poem, he said he came to us and we were in despair, we were in ignorance, and it's been long since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent guidance. It's since Isa alaihi salam to earth, and idols were worshipped on earth, and then he came as a light and he cleared the way for us, and like he shined like the sword shines in the battle, and he warned us of the hellfire, and he gave us the glad tidings of paradise, and he taught us Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we praise, and I will continue to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as I live. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed and died, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hassan, he would say his poem crying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and being sent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the things that Hassan was very intelligent with and very smart, showed you the shrewdness of this poet. Now Quraysh comes and sends poetry against Muslims. Now if Hassan sends poetry against Quraysh, well, the Prophet is from Quraysh, so he cannot say bad things about the tribe of Quraysh. So he would take Quraysh and not talk about the tribe as a whole. Because many of all the muhajirun, all the immigrants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are from Quraysh, and he would attack certain people, and he would attack traits and deeds and acts, bad acts that Quraysh would do. And he would show them that it's not about who you are and where are you from. It is about what you do and how you act, and how you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Hassan ibn Thabit lived, some people say lived at least 40 years after Hijrah. He survived the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although he was 10 years older than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everybody agrees he died, he was over 100 years old. And in some, he was 120. They said he lived 60 years before Hijrah and 60 years after Hijrah. Everybody agrees that he died in the Umayyah dynasty, during the Umayyah dynasty. So he lived a very long life, radiallahu anhu. The second poet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Abdullah ibn Rawaha. Now Abdullah ibn Rawaha, we have mentioned Abdullah many times, radiallahu anhu. But some of the most important traits of Abdullah ibn Rawaha, although he was a great poet, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself would praise him for his poetry, but he was a Muslim mujahid, he was a fighter, he was a commander for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Rawaha goes back to the first, he's an Ansari, he's from Medina. But his Islam goes back to the very first Bay'ah of Aqaba, where there are only 12 people that gave the pledge to the pledge to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of them was Abdullah ibn Rawaha. And at that time, came back after that with the second Bay'ah of Aqaba. Again, when there were 72 of the Ansar and gave the pledge again to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was one of the Sahaba that were in the two Bay'ah. In the first Bay'ah of Aqaba, which is called the Pledge of Women, and the second Bay'ah of Aqaba, which is called the greatest or the greater Bay'ah of Aqaba, Bay'atul Aqaba al-Kubra. Abdullah ibn Rawaha was a learned man. He used to write and read. He knew, he was not illiterate. Most Arabia at that time was illiterate. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent among the illiterate a prophet among them. So it's an evidence that most Arabia was illiterate. The very few people knew how to write and read, especially among the Sahaba, and the writers of the Wahi were only few of them. And Abdullah ibn Rawaha was a writer, and that was also an advantage. And he was an excellent poet. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was digging the Khandaq, he heard Abdullah ibn Rawaha saying, a very famous poet, and enticing people to work harder during the battle, during the digging of the Khandaq, during the battle of Al-Ahzab. And Abdullah was reciting, was chanting, يَا اللَّهُمَّ لَوْلَا أَنْسَ مَهْتَدَيْنَا وَلَا تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَا صَلَّيْنَا فَأَنْزِلًا سَكِينَةً عَلَيْنَا وَثَبِّتِ الْأَقْدَامَ إِلَّا قَيْنَا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَدْ بَغَوْا عَلَيْنَا وَإِذَا أَرَادُوا فِتْنَةً أَبَيْنَا فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَبَيْنَا أَبَيْنَا. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started reciting after him what he was saying, Abdullah ibn Rawaha. He said, "Oh Allah, if it's not for you, we would not be guided. Oh Allah, if it's not for you, we would not give in charity or stand in prayer. Oh Allah, please send the tranquility over us and fasten us and give us the steadfastness when we meet our enemy. Those who transgressed upon us, if they want to turn us from our religion, we will not obey them." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, "We will not obey them. We will not obey them. We abayna, abayna." And he would recite with Abdullah ibn Rawaha and would smile. And then the verse came in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, and he heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ash-Shu'ara'u yatba'uhumul ghawun, alam tara annahum fi kulli wadin yahimun, wa annahum yaquluna ma la yaf'alun." That this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed a verse against the poets. So he came running to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Was I doing anything wrong? I am a poet. Should I stop?" And then when he got there, he heard the rest of it. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَانْتَصَرُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا. Except those who are a believer. Except the believers. Then words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed against the poets, there is a big exception that those have belief in their heart and they act with the salihat, with the good deeds. وَذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ. And they mention Allah in their words and in their poetry. I mean, many of these poets spread Islam in their poets, in their poetry. وَانْتَصَرُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا. And they also take the revenge for themselves, because people attack them, then they have to attack back. They have to respond. Not necessarily attacking, but at least defending what they believe in the same way they are being attacked in their poetry. And that put the mind of Abdullah ibn Rawaha to peace, and he continues to deploy his poetry in the service of Islam. Abdullah ibn Rawaha was, he put not only his poetry to Islam, but he also put his sword to the service of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was in Badr, he was in Uhud, he was in Khandaq, he was in Hudaybiyah, and he was in Al-Khaybar. And he would have most of, brothers and sisters, most of the poetry that you hear during the battle, all by Abdullah ibn Rawaha. He had this talent of saying easy poetry that people can say and just get the enthusiasm through them. Something that is easy to say during the heat of battle. He would fight, and during his fighting he would say poetry. And that would just give a lot of morale to the soldiers that understood that, and they would go and chant with him with this poetry. He would say, خَلُّوا بَلِي كُفَّارَ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ خَلُّوا فَكُلُّ الْخَيْرِ فِي رَسُولِهِ. Leave him alone, leave the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has indeed brought you all the good. And that is one of the translation of the poetry that he would say during the battle. After all these battles, Uhud, Al-Khandaq, Al-Khaybar, and before that Al-Hudaybiyah, he was one of the people that gave the pledge to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under the tree. So he was in the three pledges in Islam. Al-Aqaba al-Ula, Al-Aqaba al-Thaniya, وَبَيْعَةَ الرُّضْوَانِ. And the three pledges that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mostly the last one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an blessed and promised paradise for those who were in it. And that was Abdullah ibn Rawaha. He was one of the people there. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him in an expedition. Sent him in a very important expedition to Byzantium. Send a small army of around 3,000 people to go and scout the northern borders of Arabia. And on that, on the top of that army, the commander of the army was Zayd ibn Haritha, was the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and at one time before Islam, his adopted son, Zayd ibn Haritha, who was Mawla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave him the leadership. But then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in qutila Zayd, if Zayd is killed, then give the banner to Ja'far. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then said, if Ja'far is killed, then give the banner to Abdullah ibn Rawaha. Give it to our poet, to our sahabi today. And he sent them. And he sent a new Muslim with them, Khalid ibn al-Walid, who just joined the Muslim ummah. And he sent them with this, sent Khalid with this army. And as this army goes out and they are scouting, the Byzantines has gathered 200,000 fighters to fight this expedition that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sent. And they camp near a village called Mu'ta. And they started gathering and they started discussing, what are we going to do? This is not what we came for. We didn't come to fight 200,000 people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent us on a specific mission to scout and to deal with the tribes in northern Arabia, but not to fight a professional big Byzantine army. And then Abdullah ibn Rawaha stood up and he said, Ya Qawm, O my people, my companions, Inna wallahi ma nuqatilu a'da'ana bi'adad. We don't fight our enemy with our numbers. وَلَا قُوَّةٍ. Not with our strength. We don't fight them with what we have. مَا نُقَاتِلُهُمْ إِلَّا بِهَذَا الدِّينِ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَنَا اللَّهُ بِهِ. We only fight them with this faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. فَانْطَلِقُوا. Let's go. إِنَّمَا هِيَ إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. It's only one of two good things. إِمَّا الشَّهَادَ وَإِمَّا النَّصْرِ. It's either martyrdom and paradise, or it is victory to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are we afraid of? And then the Muslims said, Sadaqa wallahu ibn Rawaha. Ibn Rawaha has just said the truth. And then the battle started. And the first commander died, Zayd ibn Haritha, radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina. On his direct angelic satellite, with Jibreel telling him what is going on. And he's telling the Muslims what is going on in Mu'ta. And he said, سَقَطَ زَيْد. Zayd has fallen. And then he said, أَخَذَ الرَّايَةَ جَعْفَر. Ja'far took the banner. And Ja'far started fighting. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Saqata Ja'far. Ja'far has fallen. Then who is the third in command? Abdullah ibn Rawaha. Saying in this heat of the battle. And then Abdullah wanted to take the banner and he felt that his human soul hesitated just a little bit. And then he said the final poets, the final poems of his life. And he said, أَقْسَمْتُ يَا نَفْسِ لَتَنْزِلِنَّ لَتَنْزِلِنَّهُ أَوْ لَتُكْرَهِنَّ مَا لِي أَرَاكِ تَكْرَهِينَ الْجَنَّةِ. He said, O my soul, I swear upon you, you will take that banner. You will take it or I will force you to take it. He's talking to his own self. Why do you hate Jannah? He said, what are you afraid of? To take the banner and be killed? It is Al-Jannah. Then he took the banner and he started fighting and he was saying more poetry. And he said, Ya nafsu illa tuqtali tamuti. Hada himamul mawti qad sulliti. Wa ma tamannayti qad u'tuti. In taf'ali fi'lahuma huditi. He said, O my soul, if you don't get killed today, you will die. Death happens to all of us. So what are you afraid? This is something ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya nafsu illam tuqtali tamuti. Hada himamul mawti qad sulliti. This is death, it's clear. He can see it with his own eyes. He said, it has arrived. وَمَا قَدْ تَمَنَّيْتِ قَدْ أُعْطِيتِ. And what you have been wishing for all your life, the shahada, the martyrdom, Allah has given you. So what are you sad about? And then he said, he looked at the bodies of his two companions, to Zayd and Ja'far, and he said, إِن تَفْعَلِي فِعْلَهُمَا هُدِيتِ. If you do what these people did, you will be guided. You will be guided to the right deed. And he continued to fight and storming through the Byzantine army. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُتِلَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Abdullah is killed in Medina. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَدْ رُفِعُوا إِلَيَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I see them now in paradise. He saw them immediately. The transmission continued from the battlefield in Mu'tah to paradise. He even saw Ja'far flying in al-Jannah. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. And Ja'far is known as At-Tayyar, the flying Ja'far. Why is he called the flying Ja'far? Because he was seen during the Battle of Mu'tah flying in Al-Jannah already, right after he received martyrdom. صدق الله سبحانه وتعالى لا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله ويستبشرون بالذين لم يلحقوا بهم من خلفهم ألا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Don't think that those who are killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are dead. They are indeed alive. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given the bounty in paradise. And they are happy. And they have glad tidings for those behind them that there is no fear and there is no sadness where they are. And that was the second poet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was Abdullah ibn Rawah. The last section of today's session, inshallah, we speak of the third poet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We speak of Ka'b ibn Malik. Ka'b ibn Malik, he is also from Al-Ansar. All three of them are people of Al-Ansar. And Ka'b ibn Malik went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Mecca on the second bay'ah of Al-Aqaba. He became a Muslim after the first bay'ah and he went to give the pledge to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in bay'at Al-Aqaba Al-Kubra, in the greatest bay'ah of Aqaba. And in there was only 72 men and two women. 72 men and two women given the pledge to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ka'b was always proud of that. He said, Wallahi, to me this is just as better. To me this pledge is just as better. This is so special that we are the first to give bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we will protect Islam. And if Islam comes to Medina, we will fight for Islam. No, the first bay'ah didn't have any protection. That's what's called bay'at al-Nisa. Not to belittle the value of women or the station of women, but the bay'ah was on the conditions given to women usually. You shall not steal, you will obey the Prophet, you will believe in Allah, and all of that was Bay'at al-Aqaba al-Ula. The second Bay'ah said you will protect Allah and you will protect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. And Ka'b ibn Malik was one of the Nuqaba, one of the delegates that was in that Bay'ah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being introduced to them one after the other. One after the other. This is Sa'd ibn Ubadah, this is etc. And then he came and they said, this is Ka'b ibn Malik. And the Prophet looked at him, he said, Ash-Sha'ir, the poet? And Ka'b said, I was never proud. Like when he recognized me as a poet, he said, Ash-Sha'ir, yes, I am the poet. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy with him. As if like, you know, Channel 5 became a Muslim channel. You know, that's the importance of such event. The Prophet said, Ash-Sha'ir, and Ka'b smiled. He said, yes, Ash-Sha'ir, I am the poet. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy with him. And Ka'b said, this was much more valuable to me than any wealth I could get that day, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted me and recognized me as the poet. In the second year of Hijrah after the Prophet ﷺ was in Medina, there was the Battle of Badr. But we know the Battle of Badr was not a battle that the Prophet ﷺ asked all Muslims to come. It was not a state where all Muslims should go to jihad. It was to go after the caravan of Abu Sufyan. And Ka'b didn't participate in that battle because it was not, Rasulullah ﷺ blamed nobody that did not participate in the Battle of Badr. But he was burning to participate in the second battle when Uhud came. And he went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Uhud. And Abu Sufyan sent a poem to Muslims, and Muslims, especially the Ansar, telling them that we didn't come, because we know Uhud, Mushrik, the army of the unbelievers came to Al-Medina. Uhud is just north of Medina. And he said, you Ansar, you leave the Prophet alone and you leave us to take care of our cousin. This is a war between us and our cousins. You have nothing to do with it. He's trying to let the Ansar not fight for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sent the news. He said, we will not harm you and we will not take any loot from Al-Medina. We will leave you alone if you let us fight the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Ka'b ibn Malik answered that. And he said, أَبْلِغْ أَبَا سُفْيَانَ أَنْ قَدْ أَضَالَنَا بِأَحْمَدَ نُورٌ مِنْ هُدَى اللَّهِ سَاطِعُ فَلَا تَرْغَبًا فِي حَرْبِنَا أَنْ تَكِيدَنَا وَأَلِّبْ وَجَمِّعْ كُلَّمَا أَنْتَ جَامِعُ وَدُونَكَ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَقْضَى عُهُودِنَا أَبَاهُ الْمِلَى مِنَّا أَلَّذِينَ تَبَايَعُوا. He sent to Abu Sufyan three sections of poetry to answer him. He said, tell Abu Sufyan that we have a light that came with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Allah to guide us. Tell Abu Sufyan, don't try to separate us and disunite us, and go do whatever you want to do. Gather as many armies as you want and come and let you know that we have given him a pledge. See, Bay'at al-Aqaba al-Thaniya. We gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a pledge. And those who gave the pledge will never break their promises to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was how he answered Abu Sufyan in his poetry. So he deployed his poetry. And we knew, not only Ka'b answering Abu Sufyan, the Ansar who have even the slightest thought that, well, this may be a battle between Quraysh and Quraysh, when they hear this poetry, they understand. It's not about that. It's about huda. It's about guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's about rejecting Allah and His Prophet if we don't support the Prophet. It's not acceptable to be on this side when it's something that pertains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the protection of Islam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the battle, he gave one of his shields to Ka'b ibn Malik to wear it. And that was a point of great pride to Ka'b ibn Malik. We know what happened in Uhud and how the Muslim, the archers of Muslims disobeyed the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and victory for Muslims turned around and Khalid came around the army and the Muslim army was caught between the cavalry of Khalid and the rest of the Mushrik army, and chaos happened in the Muslims, among the Muslims. And Ibn Qabi'ah, the man who came to kill the Prophet ﷺ, saw Mus'ab ibn Umayr. And Mus'ab was very handsome, and he thought he was Rasulullah ﷺ, and he killed Mus'ab radiallahu anhu. And then he started shouting and hollering. He said, قَتَلْتُ مُحَمَّدًا وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ. I killed Muhammad, I killed Muhammad. So in that chaos, many Muslims thought that the Prophet was dead. The Prophet was killed. And then Ka'b ibn Malik was looking around and he saw eyes. All he saw from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his eyes, and he knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he started saying, he said, "Ya ma'ashar al-Muslimin, abshurur, hada Rasulullah. This is Rasulullah, this is Rasulullah." And he just with his happiness started shouting and just uncontrollably, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Don't say anything," because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trying to regroup the Muslim army, and he doesn't want to attract the mushrik, and so he can be besieged. And so Ka'b started, but this hadith said, لَمَّنْ كَشَفَ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ أُحُدْ, when people were in chaos on the day of Uhud, كُنْتُ أَوَّلَ مَنْ عَرَفَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, I was the first one to recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَبَشَّرْتُ بِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَيًّا سَوِيًّا, and I gave the news to the mu'min that he is alive and he is well. And on the end and the last day of Uhud, he had 17 cuts on him. He had 17 wounds in his body. رضي الله عنه, Ka'b ibn Malik, مجاهد في سبيل الله. Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, by the way, Sheikh Mas'ud knows, he's one of the teachers of Imam Malik. So this is narrated on, this hadith is narrated on Ibn Shihab. He said, خَفِيَ خَبَرُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم يَوْمَ أَحَدٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ إِلَّا عَلَى سِتَّةِ أَنْفُرٍ, that nobody knew that the Prophet ﷺ was alive except six people on that day. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam wa Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Why? We remember when we studied their life, they were right next to the Prophet ﷺ defending the Prophet, and Talha's right hand was paralyzed that day, was cut during the day of Uhud. Wa Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Sa'd who was defending the Prophet ﷺ with his archery, with his skills in archery. Wa Ka'b ibn Malik, and Ka'b ibn Malik, this poet around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa Abu Dujana. Abu Dujana, the guy with the red bandana that would fight with the sword of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa Sahl ibn Hunayf. Wa Sahl ibn Hunayf. And then after the battle, Ka'b ibn Malik, he also gave some beautiful poetry, and mostly in remembering Hamza. And remembering the lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hamza radiallahu anhu, he said, بكت عيني وحق لها بكاها وما يغني البكاء ولا العويل على أسد الإله غدا تقالوا أحمزة ذاكم الرجل القتيل. He said, my eyes would cry, and it has the right to cry, but crying does not help when the lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fallen, when they said that this is Hamza, this is the man who was killed on the Battle of Uhud. Then after that, he participated with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Ghazwat al-Nadir. Ghazwat Bani Nadir, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam expelled the people of Bani Nadir, the Jews of Bani Nadir, from Medina after their treachery. Because what happened after Uhud, the people of Nadir felt weakness, felt that the Muslims are weaker. They have been defeated in this battle. And they started connecting with the munafiqeen, with the hypocrite. And they started revealing their enmity and animosity towards the Muslims. And they started working with the mushrik, with the non-believers, and trying to gather more armies to come to Medina so they can get rid of the Muslims and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the last straw that caused the battle of Al-Nadir, as we remember from the studying of the seerah, inshallah, that they tried to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That they had an assassination attempt against the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoiled for them. And in there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that they should be expelled from Al-Madinah. And the verses of Surah Al-Hashr, was revealed. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he would say, don't call it Surah Al-Hashr, call it Surah Al-Nadir. So the Surah of Bani Nadir, because it was all revealed for that particular occasion. And then in Al-Ahzab, also Ka'b ibn Malik participated in that battle, and he fought well with the Muslims during the battle of Al-Ahzab. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defeated Al-Ahzab himself. Then comes the issue and the event that really brings the name of Ka'b ibn Malik to history. And most of us know that Ka'b ibn Malik is the poet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he's really more known for this coming event because he was mentioned in the Quran because of that event, along with two other of the Sahaba. And what happened, it's in the year of hardship that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to lead an army north to fight Byzantium. The danger that he felt on the northern border of Arabia, that the Byzantine are trying to collect armies and trying to entice the Arab tribes in northern Arabia to come and fight against the Muslims, because they felt that threat coming from the Islam and the Muslims from the desert. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to gather an army, and it was the hottest time of the year. And the hottest time of the year in Arabia is a very hot time of the year. I mean, it's even hotter than it is here in Memphis, if you can even believe that. And subhanAllah, because it's dry and hot. But also at the same time, it was not a good time for the people of Medina to leave, because that is a time for harvest. For most of them, they're date farmers. And that is the time where you actually harvest the date. So they wanted to make sure that their crops are well taken care of. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the orders for the Muslim army to get ready in that hard year and in that tough time to move on. And here is the story narrated in both Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari by Ka'b ibn Malik himself. One of the most beautiful stories of how can a Muslim make a mistake, even with a lot of piety, and then what repentance is all about. On the authority of both Al-Bukhari and Muslim, as is narrated on the narration of Ka'b ibn Malik, he said, لم أتخلف عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة غزاها قط إلا في غزوة تبوك غير أني قد تخلفت في غزوة بدر ولم يعاتب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحدا تخلف عنها إنما خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والمسلمون يريدون عير قريش حتى جمع الله بينهم وبين عدوهم على غير ميعاد. He starts the story by the introduction that I would never left behind on any of the battles. I have not stayed back from any of the battles with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam except in Tabuk and in Badr. But Badr was not a planned battle. It was when the Muslims went out to get the caravan, as we said. And then he said, وَلَقَدْ شَهِدْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيْلَةَ الْعَقَبَةِ حِينَ تَوَاثَقْنَا عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَا أُحِبُّ أَنَّ لِي بِهَا مَشْهَدَ بَدْرُ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ بَدْرُ أَذْكَرَ فِي النَّاسِ مِنْهَا. He said, but also he's trying to tell that he has advantage in Islam. He said, I was in Al-Aqaba with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I just think that this just as good as Badr, although Badr is more famous among the people. And then he said, وَكَانَ مِنْ خَبَرِي. And let me tell you the story, he said, how it happened. حِينَ تَخَلَّفْتُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي تَبُوكَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَكُلْ قَطُّ أَقْوَى وَلَا أَيْسَرَ مِنِّي حِينَ تَخَلَّفْتُ عَنْهُ فِي تِلْكَ الْغَزْوَةِ. I was never stronger and wealthier when I stayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, wallahi ma jama'tu qablaha rahilatayn qat hatta jama'tuhuma fi tilka al-ghazwa. He said, I never had two rides, meaning a camel, two horses or two camels, until that time. He said, I was very wealthy at that time. I was doing very well and I was very healthy. He's trying to tell people I had no excuse whatsoever. And then he said, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُرِيدُ غَزْوَ إِلَّا وَرَّى بِغَيْرِهَا. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam want to go out on an expedition or a battle, he would always camouflage that in a way. He would not tell where he's going. So those spies and scouts of the enemy would not know where the Muslim army is going to hit. Except that one. He said, except for that one, because the Prophet ﷺ غَزَاهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فِي حَرٍّ شَدِيدٍ وَاسْتَقْبَلَ سَفَرًا بَعِيدًا. Because that one, Rasulullah ﷺ said where he was going. Because it was very hot, it was in a very hot time of the year, and it was a long journey. It was almost more than about 1,000 miles. That's a really long, one way. I mean, that is really a long way to go in the heat of the summer, walking and riding. On a horse or a camel. وَعَدُوًا كَثِيرًا. And the enemy is plentiful in that. Remember Mu'ta, where Abdullah ibn Rawaha died. 200,000 fighters. And so the enemy can be so plenty down there. There can be so enormous number of them. فَجَلَّ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ أَمْرَهُمْ لِيَتَأَهَّبُوا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the Muslim and revealed his destination so people can get ready. فأخبرهم بوجهه الذي يريد. And then he said, والمسلمون مع رسول الله كثير. And in that battle, Muslims were so many with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا يجمعهم كتاب حافظ. You can't write their name on paper. I mean, he said, there's just so many of them. فقل رجلا يريد أن يتغيب إلا ظن أن ذلك سيخفى له. He said, everybody that did not want to go thought that, you know, there's so many people and nobody will really nobody will feel my absence. Nobody will feel that I am behind. وَغَزَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حِينَ طَابَتِ الثِّمَارُ وَالظِّلَالِ فَأَنَا إِلَيْهَا أَصْعَرُ. He said, when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم went out, it was the time for harvest and the fruits are ready, and I loved just to stay a little behind to take care of that, to take care of the crops. فَتَجَهَّزَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ مَعَهُ. The Prophet was ready, the Muslims were ready, and I would go back and forth. And I don't get ready. And I وَأَقُولُ فِي نَفْسِي. I say, أَنَا قَادِرٌ عَلَيْهِ. I can do it anytime. There's still time. He was procrastinating. He was delaying. SubhanAllah. That's how shaitan works. He said, I mean, you know, don't give now. You know, you just, you know, you give next fundraiser. You know, don't do it now. You know, you can do it later. There is still time. And he would say, I would just delay things. And I said, I can do it like this because he's healthy and wealthy. And then he said, until they left Medina. وتفارط الغزو. And then they were behind. فهممت أن أرتحل. Then I decided, well, I really should leave. And then ويا ليتني فعلت. He said, I wish I did. Even late, I wish I followed them, but I didn't do it. I procrastinated, and I did not do it. And then he said, when I was in Medina, فطفقت إذا خرجت في الناس. When I go around in Medina. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslim army left, يحزنني. I would feel sad. لا أرى لي أسوة. I don't see anybody except a munafiq, إلا رجلا مغموصا في النفاق أو رجلا ممن عذر الله. Either somebody with a handicapped or a munafiq. He said, those were my peers. These were the ones that I was left. Every good Muslim left with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's a good Muslim. He said, I don't belong here. I'm a healthy Muslim. I can go. And he's not a poor Muslim, because we know that the Prophet ﷺ turned down people. They called تَوَلُّوا وَأَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ. It was about this battle that they didn't have a ride. And the Prophet said, you can't go with us. It's too much. So the poor people, the handicapped, and the munafiqi. These were the only three people that are left in Al-Madinah. And then he said, وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حَتَّى بَلَغَ تَبُوكَ. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached Tabuk, and then he said, مَا فَعَلَ كَعْبُ بْنُ مَالِكَ. Where is كَعْبُ بْنُ مَالِكَ? And then one of the people around him, he said, and from the family of كَعْبُ بْنُ مَالِكَ, he said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ حَبَسَهُ بُرْدَاهُ وَالنَّظْرُ فِي عَطِفَيْهِ. This is a figure of speech. He said, he just stayed behind just to warm his clothes and to admire his beauty, like women. Okay, that's what he's trying to say. He just عَطَفَ النَّظْرُ فِي عَطِفَيْهِ. And then Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Mu'adh is one of the great Sahaba, he said, بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتِ. That's not the right thing to say about Ka'b. وَاللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. And this is the example of a Muslim. يَحْسَنُ الظَّنْ. Always think the good. He said, وَاللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, we know nothing except good about Ka'b. Ka'b is not a munafiq. And Ka'b is not a coward. And then سكت رسول الله. The Prophet did not say anything. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back to Medina. And Ka'b said, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَنِي أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ تَوَجَّهَ حَضَرَنِي هَمِّي. When the Prophet came back, I felt the weight. I felt the guilt, the heaviness, the weight of that, what I did. فَطَفَقْتُ أَتَذَكَّرُ الْكَذِبِ. I started preparing my lies. What I'm going to say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, started preparing the lie, preparing what I'm going to tell him. وَأَقُولُ بِمَا أَخْرُجُ مِنْ سَخَطِهِ غَدًا. What I'm going to say so he doesn't get mad with me, doesn't get angry with me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَسْتَعِينُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ كُلُّ ذِي رَأِي. And I start asking people from my family, what should I tell Rasulullah? What can I, how can I give an excuse to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then they told me that the Prophet reached Medina. He said, فَلَمَّا وَصَلَ رَسُولُ وَلَمَّا أَطَلَّ قَادِمًا. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, زَاحَ عَنِّي الْبَاطِلِ. All those falsehood, all these lies, excuses, I just couldn't do it. I could not remember it. وَعَرَفْتُ أَنِّي لَنْ أَنْجُوَ مِنْهُ بِشَيْءٍ. I will not get away with a lie with the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَحَبْ فَأَجْمَعْتُ صِدْقَ. I confirmed that I would tell him the truth. وَصَبَحَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَادِمًا. He came in the morning. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Medina, the first thing he comes is not his house. He goes to the masjid. That is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he comes to the city, the first thing he does is he goes to the masjid and he prays two rak'ah in the masjid, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing him. He said, so he went to the masjid and he sat in the masjid and people started coming to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when he did that, جَاءَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ. Those who lagged behind and stayed behind, they started coming. فَطَفَقُوا يَعْتَذِرُونَ. They start telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stories and excuses. Wallahi ya Rasulullah, I wasn't feeling well. Wallahi ya Rasulullah, my wife was sick. Wallahi ya Rasulullah, my horse was sick. Wallahi, it started coming up with all kinds of excuses. وَكَانُوا بِضْعَةً وَثَمَانِينَ رَجُلًا. There were more than 80 persons of them. فَقَبِلَ مِنْهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عَلَى نِيَّتَهُمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would accept the excuses they given him. But we will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept that. وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمْ. And he would ask Allah for forgiveness for them. وَوَكَلَ سَرَائِرَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He said, your intention with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I came, it was my turn to come and tell my excuse to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when I sat down, تَبَسَّمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me an angry smile. تبسم المغضب. This is the way. He said, he gave me an angry smile. Excuse me, I can't do it. He said, and then he said, تعال. Come, come here. He said, ما خلفك. Why did you stay behind? ألم تكن قد ابتعت ظهرك. Didn't you bought your horse, your ride? And then Ka'ab said, بلى يا رسول الله. إني لو جلست عند غيرك من أهل الدنيا. If I was with anybody else from the people of this earth, لَرَأَيْتُ أَنِّي سَأَخْرُجُ مِنْ سَخَطِهِ بِعُذْرِ. I would say that I will give him an excuse and I will get away with it. I will get away with it. وَقَدْ أُعْطِيتُ جَدَلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me a good tongue. I mean, he's a poet. He knows how to speak. He's not tongue-tied. He said, أُعْطِيتُ جَدَلًا. I know how to talk. I know how to do a convincing talk. وَلَكِنِّي وَاللَّهِ. But I know wallahi. لقد علمت لئن حدثتك اليوم حديث كذبا ترضى عني به لو يشكن الله أن يسخطك علي. If I tell you something and you're pleased with me, a lie that will make you pleased with me today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be angry with me. And you will be angry with me later on. وإن حدثتك حديث صدق. But if I tell the truth, تجد فيه علي, you will not be happy with me. Then إني لأرجو فيه عفو الله. But I ask the forgiveness of Allah. لا والله ما كان لي من عذر. Wallahi, I did not have any excuse. He made an oath, a vow. He said, wallahi, I have no excuse. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to the Sahaba and he said, أما هذا فقط صدق. But this one is telling the truth. There's 80 persons, 80 people behind and coming with all kinds of stories. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knows that they're lying. But how, he never told any of them that you are telling me a story. I mean, Allah is with him. Allah is telling him who's truthful or not. But he said, you are true. This one is telling the truth. حَتَّى يَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ فِيكَ. get up until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give His judgment in you. Should we continue or break for? So I apologize. Maybe inshallah 5 minutes. And then his family, is that okay, Shaykh Mas'ud? Jazakallah. The family of Bani Salama, the clan of Ka'b ibn Malik, they came and said, what did you just do? What did you just do? How did you say that? They said, Wallahi ma alimnaka aznabta dhanban qabla hadha. You never sinned before this. We don't know that you have did anything wrong before this. Ajasta an la takuna fi man i'tadhara ila Rasulillah. Did you not, couldn't you just give him an excuse to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, كَانَكَ فِيكَ ذَنْبُكَ اسْتِغْفَارُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Didn't you hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking forgiveness for them? And that's enough. Just give him an excuse and he'll ask forgiveness for you and then the story, it's over. And then he said, they continued and they said, until I even doubted, why did I do that? Why did I say the truth to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then he asked, هَلَّقِيَ هَذَا مَعِ أَحَدْ. Was anybody else, did anybody else say that to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, yes, there are two people that were not so smart like you and they told the truth to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, there are two people that said what you said. And said, who are they? They said, Murarah ibn Rabi' wa Hilal ibn Umayyah. Murarah ibn Rabi' and he said, Rajulaini, Salihaini min Ahli Badr. There are two people, righteous from the people of Badr. He said, then this is the right thing. If the righteous people, the people of Badr, are saying this, then that is the right position to take. Then the punishment came with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha. He said nobody talks to them, to these three: Ka'b ibn Malik, Murar ibn Rabi' wa Hilal ibn Umayyah. These three people, nobody can communicate with them. Nobody can talk. Complete social embargo against them. Nobody can sell from them. Nobody can give them anything. Nobody can talk to these people. And then he said watajnabana ijtanabana an-nas. People started avoiding us. وَتَغَيَّرُوا لَنَا. And they're changing their position, their communication with us. حَتَّى تَنَكَّرَتْ لِي فِي نَفْسِ الْأَرْضِ. Even this whole life, this earth, became so tight and changed with me. فَمَا هِيَ بِالْأَرْضِ الَّتِي أَعْرِفُ. It's not the life that I know. وَلَبِثْنَا عَلَى ذَلِكَ 50 لَيْلَةً. We started 50 nights on that situation. And then he said, أَمَّا صَاحِبَيَّ فَقَدْ اسْتَكَانَا وَقَعَدُوا فِي بِيُوتِهِمَا يَبْكِيَانَ. But the other two, Hilal ibn Umayyah, Murar ibn Rabi', he said, they stayed in their houses crying all day. They wouldn't get out. Ashamed. Embarrassed. They're being punished by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, أَمَّا أَنَا كُنْتُ أَشَبَّ الْقَوْمِ. I was the youngest and the strongest. And I couldn't stay at home. فكنت أخرج للصلاة. I would go out for the صلاة. وأطوف بالأسواق ولا يكلمني أحد. I would go to the marketplace. I would come to the masjid. And nobody would talk to me. Nobody would speak to me. وآتي رسول الله فأسلم عليه. He was trying to give salam. So maybe the Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would give him the salam back. He said, then I would look at his lips to say, is he really giving me the salam back? And I couldn't hear anything. And then he said, حَتَّى طَالَ عَلَيَّ ذَلِكَ. This is took so long. And I went to my cousin, Abu Qutada. Abu Qutada is one of the great Sahaba. And he said, and I went to his orchard. And I came to him, وَسَلَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَوَاللَّهِ مَا رَدَّ عَلَيَّ السَّلَامِ. I gave salam to Abu Qutada, and Abu Qutada didn't even give me the salam back. And I said, يَا أَبَا قُتَادَ أُنْشِدُكَ اللَّهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمَنَّ أَنِّي يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Said Abu Qutada, you're my cousin and you know me. Do you know that I love Allah and His Messenger? Fasakat. Didn't answer him back. Said, Ya Abu Qutada, هل تعلم أني أحب الله ورسوله? Don't you know that I love Allah and His Messenger? And he would not answer him back. And he said, I kept repeating and then he finally said, Allahu A'lam. Allah knows if you love Him. He is feeling this heavy that even his cousin, he said, Allah knows if you love Him. You didn't love Allah enough to go with the army. And he started feeling, and he said, فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاي. And I started crying. He broke down. He said, وَتَوَلَّيْتْ. And I left his orchard. Then the test got even harder. He said, نَبَطِيًّا مِنْ أَهْلِ الشَّامِ. A man from Asham, they were Christians at that time, came to me. And he came to Medina, he said, where is Ka'b ibn Malik? And then the people guided him to Ka'b ibn Malik. فَدَفَعَ إِلَيَّ كِتَابًا مِنْ مَلِكِ غَسَّانِ. He gave me a letter from the king of Ghassan. And then that book said, that if you come to the kingdom of Ghassan, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has punished you, then we will be generous with you, and we will honor you, and you will have a place in the court of the king of Ghassan. Because he's a poet. He's an asset to any king. He said, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not treating you well, come to us, Ghassan, and we will treat you well. And then he said, I took that letter and I threw it in the fire. I threw it in the fire. فَتَيَمَّمْتُ بِهَا التَّنُّورُ فَسَجَرْتُ I burned it in the fire. I would never go to anywhere, even if I would be honored. And then he said, after 40 days of that punishment, the wahi came. The revelation came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it didn't come with forgiveness. It came to order the wives of these people to leave the houses of these three sahaba. And he ordered the wives to leave them. So now they can't even come to their homes and talk to their wives. And he said, and this was the hardest thing. And then he asked the women to the Prophet, and he said, should I divorce my wife? I mean, he's thinking that now he's not even a Muslim. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking him out of this ummah. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no. بَلْ اِعْتَزِلْهَا Just don't come close to her. And then after that, 10 days, then I heard a man saying, يَا كَعْبُ بْنُ مَالِكْ أَبْشَرْ يَا كَعْبُ بْنُ مَالِكْ Have the glad tiny. He said, فَسَجَدْ When I heard this, I prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَرَفْتُ أَنْ قَدْ جَاءَ فَرَجْ I knew that this came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, the man that came to me, I took my garment and I gave it to him. And that was the only garment I had at this time. So I borrowed the garments to get out and I ran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, when I came to the masjid, and Talha ibn Ubaidillah came to me, Talha, the sahabi, the paralyzed hand in Uhud. He said, he came to me and he hugged me. Wallahi la ansaha li Talha. I will never forget this for Talha, how he honored me that day. Nobody would talk to the man, to Ka'b ibn Malik. And then he said, I looked at the face of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I saw happiness in the face of the Prophet. And then he said, أَبْشَرْ يَا كَعْبْ بِخَيْرِ يَوْمٍ مَرَّ عَلَيْكَ مُنْذُ وَلَدَتْكَ أُمَّكَ This is the best day that came upon you since the day your mother gave birth to you. And Ka'b said, أَمِنْ عِنْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَمِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ Is it from you or from Allah? He said, no, بَلْ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ It is a great honor. It came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا كَادَ يَزِيغُ قُلُوبَ فَرِيقٍ مِّنْهُمْ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّهُ بِهِمْ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الذين خلفوا حتى إذا ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت وضاقت عليهم أنفسهم وظنوا أن لا ملجأ من الله إلا إليه ثم تاب عليهم ليتوبوا إن الله هو التواب الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that those three that were left behind until the earth tight upon them The vast earth became tight over their chest and they knew that there is no refuge except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repented upon them because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the repenter and He is the all-forgiving. All you who believe, fear Allah and be with those who say the truth and tell the truth. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, I will give my entire belongings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will give my entire, everything I have. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this honor from Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ بَعْضَ مَالَكْ No, keep some. فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكْ It's better for you. And he said, I will hold my share in Khaybar. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, and this is inshallah to conclude our session, إِنَّمَا أَنْجَانِ اللَّهُ بِالصِّدْقِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gave me this forgiveness and made me survive this ordeal with the truth. Because I told the truth. Because I could have told a lie. I could have told an excuse. He said, Wallahi, min tawbati. From my repentance. And la uhaditha illa subqan. Ma baqit. That I will only tell the truth as long as I live. This is a lesson for us, young and old, men and women. That even if lying can get you out of trouble, the truth is that is really what gets you out of trouble. Even if temporarily, a lie, an excuse can get you out of the trouble initially, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that does not pass. And here's the evidence. Remember those 80 that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, oh Rasulullah, and gave him excuses, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgive them? Here's what Allah said about them. سَيَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ لَكُمْ إِذَا انْقَلَبْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لِتُعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمْ فَأَعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ رِجْسٌ وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ لِتَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ فَإِنْ تَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those who came and gave the lies to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said they will give you half, yameen. They will give you an oath that when you come back, that they will give you the oath, يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ لِتَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ, so you will be pleased with them. فَإِنْ تَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ, even if you are pleased with them, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be pleased with those liars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ رِجْسٌ, they are dirt. وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ, and their abode is to the hellfire. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, well, that is the reward for what they have gained of their lies in this dunya. And that's what made Ka'b ibn Malik survive. Ka'b ibn Malik, finally, he's one of the ruwat of the hadith. He narrated 80 hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he lived 77 years, radiallahu anhu, and he died on the 50th year after Hijrah during the Khilafah of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiallahu anhu. The lesson that we learn from Ka'b is the truth. And if you look in Sahih Muslim and Sahih al-Bukhari, if you want to look up this hadith, you look at it in the chapter of the truth, fi kitab al-Sudq. That is where this hadith goes. Because this is the ordeal where you put yourself in trouble if you tell the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get you out of trouble because you're telling the truth. Jazakumullah khair. I took too long, so jazallah khair, Shaykh Mas'ud, for tolerating me. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbi rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.